Oh, we got a big one today. Welcome in. Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. We have a lot to get to on the program today. A lot of football discussion coming your way here in a matter of moments. George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin will stop by the program coming up at 4:25. As hope you all are enjoying your Wednesday. So let me get to this first before we get to the primary discussion on the program today, and it is the lack of additions from the Indianapolis Colts. And another AFC South team is making another run at bolstering up veterans on a team that's very young. So just to give you an idea of where we're headed on the program today, there is a report out there about a Ball State men's basketball player that has entered the transfer portal. Until it's confirmed, we're not going to comment on it on this program. I want to do what we say we're going to do. I did reach out to Ball State. They did not have confirmation just yet on that. So we are aware of the reports, and if confirmation comes, we will speak on it either today, later in the week, whatever the case may be. But just so you're aware on that, know it's going on social media, and I've seen it as well. And so we're working to confirm that before we start talking about it and what's next for the program right there. So we'll dive into that topic maybe today, maybe later in the week. So, speaking of things that have happened today, the Houston Texans acquire Stephon Diggs from the Buffalo Bills, one of the better wide receivers over the NFL the last several years, has been a perennial Pro Bowler, and certainly one of the marquee names at wide receiver. Now, let me make this very, very clear. Okay. And by the way, we haven't had a chance to talk a lot of Colts over the last couple of weeks, and that's on purpose because there's been a lot of things going on. Okay. But after my rant about 3 weeks ago, I kid you not, I have had three or four people reach out to me on social media that listened to my rant and said all of the things that were wrong with my rant and then ended up agreeing with what I had to say, and also went as far to say, listen to your rant. It was a little incoherent. Those were the exact words. And yet, at the end of the day, agreed with every word that was said. Okay? And if you didn't hear what I had to say about 3 weeks ago, it was a little bit of what you might expect, right? The frustration of it feels like you're doing the same things over and over again, and that is the definition of insanity. You have a system. You have a course of action that you feel like and you have a belief in that's going to make you a strong team, okay? And I have no problems with that. That being said, when it has continuously put you in the same position, not winning a division title and having you fall short of the playoffs, it would likely alter your thinking, right? For any successful business, any successful measure, you've got to evaluate your own process if it's not getting the results done. And then you take what has happened in your own division. And you look at what everybody else is doing around you with young quarterbacks, with teams that are trying to make a run. The Houston Texans acquiring Stephon Diggs is the bigger picture here. Now, if you were to tell me I have a chance to acquire Stephon Diggs at, 31, 32 years old, and he's $28 million against the cap for 2 years, and I go and give up the capital that it requires to get a player like that, would I do it if I'm the Indianapolis Colts right now? And ultimately, I'd have to look very, very long and hard about it, about the specific player. But this isn't about the specific player, in my opinion, okay? This is about the principle of the matter of what the Colts have not done and what everybody else has done in their division. And quite frankly, if you go outside of the division, you can go further and look at teams that have young quarterbacks and what they've done to support said young quarterback. So that is why it's a relevant topic to bring up again. Maybe not the specific example. Look, Stephon Diggs has been an extremely productive wide receiver. He's been in the spotlight a lot because his quarterback's Josh Allen. Would I acquire him for a second-round draft pick right now? I don't know if that's the option that presents itself right now and you've got a quarterback on your rookie deal. I get the thought process as to why. I also would understand why you wouldn't want to maybe commit to a 31, 32-year-old wide receiver. But here's the deal. Colts were never in on this one. They never were. And that seems to be the case oftentimes, that it's been Operation Run It Back for this football team. And my question has continuously been, what are you doing to support your young quarterback? What are you doing to maximize the window of him on his rookie contract? Because here's the fact of the matter that, again, we will reiterate, because I guess frequency sells, right? And what I mean by frequency is saying things over and over and over again. And at the end of the day, you might get tired of it if you listen to this program each and every day, but sometimes people often forget and forget to actually absorb the point. The point is this: there is a stark difference with the way the Colts are supporting, quotation marks, supporting their young quarterback, and the way that others are doing the exact same thing. Okay? Will Levis is going to be the starter in Tennessee this year. You know what the Tennessee Titans did? They acquired Calvin Ridley. They got a new, younger running back in Tony Pollard. They still have DeAndre Hopkins. That is two marquee wide receivers, and that is a really solid running back. The Jacksonville Jaguars didn't bring back Calvin Ridley, but they did acquire Gabe Davis, who is probably one of the best free agent wide receivers on the market, because they understood, hey, okay, we lose Calvin Ridley, we got to replace that spot. Let's go get Gabe Davis and bring him in. So they did that, and they brought in another secondary wide receiver that way. And then the Houston Texans have gone big. They have. Defensive end, that is a high number. We understand that. Stephon Diggs, Joe Mixon. They have two young wide receivers. They've got a three wide receiver set, man, that's ready to roll. They brought in Dalton Schultz last year. I mean, you can look at this over the course of the last several years in preparation for supporting your young quarterback. You know, by the way, Jacksonville is Trevor Lawrence, who's still on his rookie deal, and then you have C.J. Stroud on his rookie deal. The Colts have decided their only outside addition is going to be a defensive tackle in Raekwon Davis. Now, as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, yeah, you're adding by bringing back your own, but what in the world are you doing to support your young quarterback? And the response would be, oh, well, they signed Jonathan Taylor long-term. Well, great. Awesome. They signed Michael Pittman Jr. long-term. Oh, great. That's fantastic. They drafted Josh Downs. He's a nice player. Nice player. Who the heck's your second wide receiver? Who's the leader in the clubhouse at tight end? You have a bunch of guys. You have a bunch of guys at second, at your second, third, and fourth wide receiver spots. You know, Houston can sit back and say, we swung. We went after it. It didn't happen, you know, but they're maximizing the window of their young quarterback and also maximizing the window, saying we're going to have to pay this dude because he's pretty darn good. Because I don't think there's anybody in that Colts organization that's saying, well, we got to be careful if Anthony Richardson isn't the guy. And if that's the case, we have to have much larger conversations on this program. Why are you not maximizing the window that you currently see yourselves in? And that has been my whole point about everything. Maybe I'm a little bit more measured with the way that I'm going about this today compared to 3 weeks ago. Okay, fine. So subtlety maybe gets this message across. But the actions speak louder than words. So here's what Chris Ballard had to say. Well, people are saying we're not adding. Well, we're signing our own. That's adding, because they could have gone elsewhere. They're great players, okay? But it's the actions that speak louder than what a general manager is going to tell me about exactly what they're doing. The Houston Texans made the playoffs last year. The Colts did not. And if we're boiling it down to one game, okay, well, that was the difference between being in, being out. So we've gotten to that point. We've moved on from that. But you know who's acting like the team that didn't make the playoffs? The Houston Texans. I mean, if you're being honest about it, They're looking like the team that says, we got the window. We didn't do what we ultimately thought we could do last year. Let's go for it. This is a 180 of the last 2 years. The Houston Texans were one of the worst, if not the worst, franchise in all of professional football. 1 year, they draft their future in C.J. Stroud. They make the playoffs. And this offseason, they're acting like a team that didn't make it, that feel like they didn't have enough to make it. And here they are making these moves while the Colts say, we're going to re-sign our own. We're going to continue to do the same things that have not netted a division title in more than a decade. That's the frustration from Colts fans. And I fully subscribe to that. You know, I have no problems if you believe wholeheartedly in Anthony Richardson. That's what you should do. Because you shouldn't have drafted him at number three and not have confidence in him. But the little bit of arrogance of the organization saying, you know what, our team's good enough with what they did last year and with our young quarterback coming back healthy that we feel like we have enough and want to run it back with our particular team that, by the way, did not make the playoffs. So you feel like this team was good enough, okay, good enough to make a playoff run if Anthony Richardson was your quarterback. That's what the Colts are saying right now. They're saying the reason why they didn't make the playoffs is because Anthony Richardson wasn't healthy. And convince me of another route of what this organization feels about next year. Because actions speak louder than words in this respect, in my regard. Coach Shane Steichen's not going to be able to tell you anything. Chris Ballard's not going to say anything. But they are making the statement that they feel like they are better from within than they are externally, while every other team is doing it wrong. And I guess we'll find out this upcoming year. But you know what? I also think this is a move from the Houston Texans. They recognize the big elephant in the room. And the elephant in the room is the fact that they know they had an absolute gift last year as far as their schedule. Because when you finish last in your division, guess what you get the benefit of? You get the benefit of a very light schedule. And you know what? The Houston Texans took advantage of that and got to the playoffs last year. But they also realize, hey, you know what? We won the division last year. We're going to have to be a lot better than what we were last year because we got the benefit of a really advantageous schedule. And the Colts, this is what I don't understand about it all. The Colts are acting like they had a marquee team last year. They fell one game short, and it didn't matter who they played. That's what this feels like right now. So, again, let me reiterate, this isn't about Stephon Diggs, and I feel like he should have been an Indianapolis Colt. That's not what anybody else is saying, but it is pretty darn differing to look at the way the Colts have operated compared to the rest of their division. And who knows, okay? We may be, and I've told you before, I've told you when I'm wrong. There are not many shows where that happens. I'm telling you that. If somebody's wrong, they don't acknowledge it unless somebody brings it up on social media. I bring it out there and say, I am wrong. Because honest, transparency, all those fun words that you guys love to hear, right? But I don't think I'd be doing my job if I didn't tell you when I was wrong. And so I guess we'll clip this audio, we'll keep it, and we'll see. I mean, does Houston succeed with all these additions? Does Jacksonville succeed with all these additions? And maybe the Colts come out on top. I don't know. Maybe Anthony Richardson is that great that he can overcome it all. But the basis of the success for the Indianapolis Colts in the Chris Ballard era, nothing has changed. Not a course change of action whatsoever. And the premise of that is why frustration remains. Because you would give him a little bit of benefit of the doubt, right? if he dabbled in trying to make it work, trying to change course to make this team better, but it is always the same song and dance. It is. And ultimately, for his job security, I think the other moves that are happening around this team in the division actually puts more of the pressure on him than he may realize. That if you made, you're not asking for three or four splashes. You're not asking to go $50 million over the cap. But for goodness sake, can you have a veteran wide receiver in here? I mean, can you have somebody that you can add to this mix that makes you deeper and better? I mean, the Houston Texans on paper, man, they've got three wide receivers better than your first, potentially. Maybe two. Nico Collins and Stephon Diggs. I mean, I get it's not played on paper. I get it. But, man, is this putting a lot of pressure on Anthony Richardson? Because that is the mindset and the focus, really, that it seems like the Indianapolis Colts franchise has. Well, we don't have to do it because Anthony Richardson's going to be spectacular. Where is the external support? Now, I get the draft has a great wide receiver draft class. That's great. That's awesome. But in my opinion, to support a young quarterback, veterans around him seems to be the way to go. I don't know. It's helped young quarterbacks over the course of their careers. I don't know. Patrick Mahomes would be pretty – yeah, I don't know how he would start his career if Travis Kelce wasn't there. Tyreek Hill was kind of a vet at that point. You know, think about the young quarterbacks out there and think about the young nucleuses around young quarterbacks that have won divisions and won championships. Oh, I don't know. I can't think of many. Just saying. So, yes, it's a great wide receiver draft class. And maximize that. No question about that. But if you're going to make a run right now in the window you have with the quarterback salary that you have right now with a rookie quarterback, why aren't you taking advantage of that? And that has got to be an immense frustration for Colts fans. Because literally everybody else in his own draft class, they are doing the exact opposite. The teams are doing the exact opposite. Houston's doing the opposite. Carolina's doing the exact opposite. Tennessee's doing the exact opposite. And yet the Colts sit there and say, we're good. We'll just run it back. Okay? And I like the players that they brought back. I do. I get it. But man, if you have to sacrifice one or two of those guys to bring in a real vet that's going to help this wide receiver tight end core. Because still to this day, you can't tell me who the leader in the clubhouse is at tight end. You can't tell me definitively who is the number two. Like, Josh Downs had a nice year, but if you're telling me he's going to stack up against the other twos in the league of some of the contending teams, you're sadly mistaken. He's a good player. He's a very good player. But this is what you're going to put out there to compete for a division title in a year where you fully know that your team is going to have a tougher road ahead of them. Just by the simple nature, you had a weak schedule and you performed very well. That's what happens every single time you have success. So I'll be curious to see how it plays out. But again, make no mistake about it, folks. This isn't about Stephon Diggs, okay? Because I'll be honest with you, I don't know if I would have traded for Stephon Diggs. I don't know if I would have. But you know what? Houston's going for it because they recognize, right? This is the time. They know C.J. Stroud's for real. And by the way, the Colts are projecting like they know Anthony Richardson's going to be special. The only difference between him and C.J. Stroud, we've seen it from C.J. Stroud, and Houston has as well, and they're validating that they did it right, and they're going for it with that. The Colts internally have the confidence like Anthony Richardson is going to be C.J. Stroud. If you have that much confidence, why aren't you supporting him? Why aren't you supporting him? If you are that confident, then do something about it to make yourself stronger. I get they have Jonathan Taylor. I get they have Michael Pittman Jr. Great. But it feels like all these other teams have tight end figured out, have the second wide receiver figured out, and the Colts just sit here and say, yeah, but we've got Anthony Richardson. He played all of 2.5, 3 games last year. It's amazing. It really is. And I hope, for the sake of this franchise and the fan base and externally, that we're not going to go through another year like a couple of years ago. And by no means would I ever project that. But, man, you're going to point back to this offseason. If things go awry early on this upcoming season, you're going to point back to this offseason. So, you know, Zaire Franklin went out there on Twitter today and said, oh, we lost the offseason again. Bummer. Basically making light of the criticism that surrounds the team and the way that they go and bring in veteran free agents or veteran players to support their team. That's great. To a point, I guess you're right. You know, you don't want to win the offseason. You want to win the season. But, man, a lot of those words and a lot of those actions can bite you. And this is going to be a really interesting year. So, again, as much as there was optimism in the letdown at the end of the year, obviously with not making the playoffs, man, this could be a very turbulent year if it doesn't get off to a great start based on the way you approach this offseason with an absolute opportunity. I'm just saying. It's going to be interesting. So we'll explore more of this with George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. Shoot, when we asked George to come on the show today, didn't realize this was going to go down today. And here we are, and again, I think Colts fans are feeling a little bit of frustration. And you got to let it play out. I understand that, but man, it's interesting. I'm curious to get George's thoughts. We'll do that when we come back on a Wednesday show right after this Power Talk on CWMBN. Yes, welcome back inside the program, Power Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN, as always, presented by Walls Furniture and Mattress, Nebo Road in Muncie, online at wallsfurniture.com. 90% of what's on the showroom floor in stock for you 48 hours or less. That's the Walls Furniture and Mattress difference on Nebo Road right here in Muncie, and online at wallsfurniture.com, as we're glad to be joined by George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. George, before we get to Colts-related topics, last week you were covering the women's NCAA tournament, covering Indiana and Notre Dame. What stood out from the coverage as far as that's concerned?
Well, Sydney Parrish made a real name for herself. I mean, she really shot the Hoosiers back into that game. I think there's a lot of excitement about what she can do next year. Obviously, Miss Indiana basketball, you know, a few years ago. And then watching South Carolina, they just throw wave after wave after wave of people at you. Terry Morton said they have 10 starters. She might have been underestimating. They may have more than 10. They just keep coming at you. And I think that, you know, they're so composed. Both games that I saw them play, IU obviously made that huge run at them in the second half. And Oregon State was close most of the way until the final 5 or 6 minutes. You never saw that panic, though. Sometimes the favorites, when they're heavy favorites like that, when the underdog hangs around and starts to cause problems, you see the favorites start to crack a little bit. And South Carolina, for as young and inexperienced as they are, because a lot of those players are new to these roles, they don't crack. They don't budge. You see why they're undefeated, why they're the top-ranked team in the country.
So, obviously, there's been a lot of focus on the Iowa-LSU side of things, and that certainly came to a pinnacle on Monday night. But give us an idea, attendance, interest, all of those things, because the teams that were there that you covered didn't include Iowa-LSU. Has that attention, interest, attendance, has that extended as well to teams like South Carolina and like Indiana, like Notre Dame, et cetera?
Well, I was in the building for Iowa and LSU. They were the off days, you know. They were the other days, and those Iowa fans, they were all over Albany all weekend long. They were there early. There were people in Caitlin Clark jerseys there for the IU game.
Oh my gosh!
You know, sitting in the crowd, so it definitely spilled over. But South Carolina travels really well. They don't travel as well as Iowa, but they travel really well and had a giant fan base there as well. I would say the first day when IU Notre Dame played, it was probably about 75-80% full, and that's what, a 15,000 seat gym, so
right.
Somewhere in the 11,000-12,000, maybe even 13,000 range. There were really just seats up near the very top, and then, you know, Notre Dame had a nice contingent there as well, which is not that surprising. I think there's a lot of Notre Dame fan base all over the country, you know, obviously, but especially in New York. So it was the interest in women's basketball is growing. I'm still marveling at 12.3 million viewers on
yes.
Monday for that game, and just thinking about, hey, you know, we're what, about 10 days now from Caitlin Clark becoming a member of the Indiana Fever, so we're going to get a little bit of that craziness here in Indiana.
I saw that number, yeah, 12.6, 12.5, whatever it was, and if people saw the graphic, the fact that that's more than any NBA Finals game, any World Series game, I believe it beat some Thursday night football games, which is just that says a lot. But I wonder, because you covered it, and can you feel a difference? Because I imagine you've covered some Sweet 16s, Elite Eights before, like this, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I was there for St. Peter's a couple of years ago when they played North Carolina, and you know, that was obviously a Cinderella story and got a lot of national attention. This is a different level. This is the Beatles. You know, it's the 90s Bulls. It's LeBron and the Heatles. It's one of those things that transcends the sport itself. And the viewership tells you that, but you just get it. I was at the mall on Monday before the game, and there were Iowa and LSU fans everywhere. You know, I just think even local people were going. A couple times I went out to eat over the weekend, and there were no men's games on in the restaurants, but the women's games were on, and it was taking over Albany, really, for that, you know, 4 or 5 day stretch there. So much of it has to be credited to Caitlin Clark and the attention that she's brought to the sport, but I think it's helping, you know, the eyeballs come to watch her, and then people discover how good South Carolina is. They discover players like Angel Reese. And, you know, this Final Four game coming up between Iowa and UConn might even break the Iowa LSU record.
Oh, man, that would be something. It's George Bremer from the Herald Bulletin. One more thing on this, and you kind of mentioned it there, is that, you know, I've heard from some that have gone to some of these tournament games in the women's tournament that went to Albany. And like you had said, if you walk around Albany and you're not at the games and you're just walking around town, that they've been to NCAA tournament men's action for a couple of weekends in the past, and they said they couldn't feel a difference, that the area felt almost the exact same for the men's as it does for this particular women's tournament, which says a lot about the momentum that is being created right now.
Oh, the buzz is incredible. I mean, I think, honestly, that Iowa LSU game was the sporting event of the weekend. You know, it was a busy weekend. You had men's games, and you had baseball getting started, and, you know, tons of things going on. NFL draft talk still going on. And I think that was, and again, the numbers show it, that was the event of all the events.
We're going to have Rob Blackman from the Purdue Radio Network on Friday for those that are listening to the show. But a quick thing on Purdue, because you covered them earlier in the tournament and over the course of the seasons. Again, do you feel like if Purdue were to falter against NC State, the double-digit seed aspect, even though it's in the Final Four, is this a little bit more pressure than just any Final Four matchup for Purdue because it's a double-digit seed?
I think the Final Four is, you know, it's a stage of its own. So I think you're just, there's enough pressure there. You're playing for a national title. I don't think you really look at who's on the other side of the, you know, who's on the other bench, because it's just, it's do or die now. You know, you're here. It's the biggest stage in college basketball. The fact that North Carolina State is a double-digit seed, that they're this year's Cinderella, I think it's kind of fitting in a lot of ways, because this Purdue team all year long has kind of overcome all the past sins, if you will, of this program, and have kind of redefined, you know, what Purdue basketball can be. And so what better way for them to, you know, reach the Final Four than to have to face what's been their kryptonite, you know, all this run, these double-digit Cinderellas. So I think in a lot of ways it's just sort of the storybook, you know, what should happen for this Purdue team when they get to the Final Four.
All right, moving on to football. Big news today in the division, Stephon Diggs to Houston. Let me ask this, because I said something earlier about Colts interested Stephon Diggs or whatever the case may be. Were the Colts ever interested in making a move like this with Stephon Diggs at all?
Not to my knowledge. You know, I don't always hear everything, and obviously I was in New York all weekend, so you know, it might have slipped by, but I've not heard anything about the Colts looking into this move.
So what stands out about the move for Houston? And if you were Chris Ballard, I mean, again, when you have a 30-plus-year-old wide receiver with a big dollar amount, just didn't feel like it was ever fit for the Colts. But now that he goes to Houston, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think, you know, well, it's not a Chris Ballard move, that's for sure. Not a traditional one. I think as far as Texans go, you're looking at potentially the best offense in the NFL. You know, you look at the weapons that C.J. Stroud has now. Nico Collins had a great year last year. I don't know if he got enough attention, honestly, for how well he played, especially down the stretch. Tank Dell was outstanding for a rookie, and he's going to theoretically be healthy and be back. That trio of Collins, Dell, and Diggs with Stroud pulling the trigger could be extremely dangerous. I mean, I don't know about number one, but they could definitely be a top five offense next year if everything clicks. I think the questions there are, one, the age, because you always wonder, you know, when a receiver gets to 30, there's always going to be questions. But two, where is Diggs at mentally right now? If they get the Stephon Diggs that came to Buffalo and played the first couple of years and was refreshed, you know, and really helped move the Bills to that next level, he could be the kind of guy that takes them from good to great. But if they get the more malcontent version of Diggs that you saw at the end of the run in Minnesota and at the end of the run in Buffalo, it could be a problem for a second-year quarterback. So I think there is some risk here. I think it's a move that was well worth taking. I think the upside is tremendous for this offense. But you do wonder, you know, he's never really had to share a role the way he will in Houston, theoretically, with you know, the other receivers and the quality that they have. So, you know, how's that all work out? It's going to be really interesting to watch.
So we understand what Stephon Diggs can be. I want to ask a different form of the question of how this affects the Indianapolis Colts, because obviously when big moves are made like this, and there's been several of them, it's immediately like, well, what is Chris Ballard doing? What are the Colts doing? In Jim Irsay's mind, okay, obviously you base your personnel decisions or your internal management staff decisions on who's in those positions based on the success of your football team. My question is this. With what the other teams are doing in the division and how Chris Ballard is continuing to operate the way he always has, and the Colts have a potential if this season doesn't go according to plan, well, would Jim Irsay make a decision on making a move or making a change based on the way other teams have constructed their rosters and the way Chris Ballard has done the opposite? Is that going to be a deciding factor in Jim Irsay evaluating if he's got the right guys in place if we got to that point?
I highly doubt it. It's a lot like you cover high school basketball the same as I have. And what do you hear this time of year from them all the time? We're not even looking on the other side. It's about us. We're going to play our game. We do what we do. And if we do that, everything else take care of itself. I'm sure you heard that from Wapahani four or five times in the last month. I know I heard it certainly from Liberty Christian. That's the Colts way. This is what they do. Jim Irsay is 1,000% on board with this way of thinking. And I think so is Shane Steichen. I think it's one thing that we really haven't talked enough about this offseason, not just you and I. Everybody right now, you go back to January when Shane Steichen first spoke after the season ended, his postseason presser, he mentioned continuity about 35 times. We usually don't get something driven home by him like that. And I think that's they've made a conscious decision that they want to grow with this core that they have. Surprised me, because I think we talked, it may have even been before this spring. It might have been towards the end of last season, when we talked about the idea that this might be a reevaluation year, that you might change that core, and you might add new pieces to it, let some of it go. They clearly bought in completely on the idea that this is the group they want to win with. Now we'll see how things play out. To me, this is going to be a really interesting experiment. You got two teams in the same division with young quarterbacks and two completely different ways of building the roster around them, and you're going to find it on the field. You know, it's all going to play out right there in front of your eyes. That ultimately will be something that sways Jim Irsay's mind. If they don't win the division these next couple of years, doubts will start to come in. But right now, he is 100% behind Chris Ballard in the way that they're doing things.
Interesting. It's George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. I'll go one step further on that. When other teams in the division are operating at a way to empower their young quarterbacks, and I know we've talked about this before, you know, signing Jonathan Taylor long-term is a commitment. Michael Pittman Jr. is a commitment. You've got a group of tight ends. You don't really have a true defined second wide receiver, although Josh Downs would be the leader in the clubhouse right there. If the Houston Texans have a lot of success with the way they operated, win the division, have success in the playoffs, and the Colts are out, Jim Irsay's not going to look at the two different thoughts of thinking and put Chris Ballard in that position. Even though Houston would have success with the way they're doing things and being aggressive to support their young quarterback, George?
Yeah, I'd be really surprised if that's what happens. Because, again, this wasn't – I think sometimes people think that this is Ballard, you know, fighting back against Irsay. This is what they want to do. Ryan Grigson was more the outlier. If you look at Irsay's time here as owner, what Bill Polian did, this is how the Colts operate. This is what they've done for millennia. You know, at least in terms of the NFL calendar, it's been millennia. Just coming in and drafting your own, that's what he wanted. That's what he hired Chris Ballard to do. That's their philosophy. That's what Chris Ballard wants to do. I think they went the route of signing free agents, you know, a lot of them every offseason with Grigson. It didn't work out, and it's something that they don't want to go back down that road. Ballard said day one, and I don't think he's really changed much from it, that he's going to come in, he wants to draft and develop. And he'll use free agency sparingly. You know, you see it. DeForest Buckner is the big one. I think we talk about that one all the time because it's the big one. But it's rare. You know, one in 7 years is pretty rare. And I think if those kind of things come around, you'll see him make those kind of moves again. But his philosophy, again, right or wrong, I'm not making a stance here one way or another as far as, like, is it the right thing to do or the wrong thing to do? It's just, this is their philosophy. This is what, you know, from day one, this is what they said they want to do, draft and develop. And I think that's what you saw this offseason. They re-signed their guys, and now their ideas are going to build around Anthony Richardson in the draft. But what that does, and I think what's really key here, is it puts massive pressure on you to get these draft picks right. If you don't go out and trade for Stephon Diggs, and you don't go out and trade for L'Jarius Sneed, you now have to nail that pick at 15.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense based on the explanation there, George. George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. And final one here. So the last year they didn't say they were ready to compete, but they didn't say they were not competing. And, of course, we know how last year went. With the moves that they made in the continuity here, is the message going to be we're ready to we should be the favorites in the division? Like, is it going that far, or is it still the message of building? Like, what should the expectations be for the fan base?
It'll be really interesting to see what the team says here, you know, because offseason work's going to start here in the next couple of weeks. But Zaire Franklin didn't really make many bones about it. He said, you know, a couple of weeks ago when all the re-signings first happened, that the expectation should be to win the division, that they were, you know, so close last year to getting that done and fell short, and the expectation should be to get that done. So I think internally that's going to be the feeling. And again, when you double down on your guys and you do this draft and develop and you bring your guys back and you say, we've got what we need in this building, you have to produce those kind of results to back that up.
It is George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin with us. Interesting times with the Colts, and more coming as the draft is rapidly approaching. George, enjoy it. Look forward to talking to you next week. Thanks always for the time.
Hey, no problem. Never a dull moment. And should have fun with the Boilers this weekend.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. Thanks to George Brimmer from the Herald Bulletin. By the way, here's a statement from Andrew Brandt, and I don't know if this makes anybody feel better. Again, I don't think Stephon Diggs was ever a target for the Colts, so I want to make that very clear. That's not the comparison we're making. But this is Andrew Brandt, who's covered the NFL for years. The Bills chose $31 million of dead cap money and a second-round pick in 2025 over having Stephon Diggs on their team. Think about that. It's hard to argue with that. So basically, the Bills are going to eat his contract for this year. They get a second-round draft pick in return, and they were happy with shipping him out of town. That's kind of interesting. It is. All right. We'll explore more of that when we come back on the show. Power Talk of Muncie WMUN. Yes, brought to you by State Farm agent Jason May. Make sure you're getting all the discounts you deserve by calling Jason at 747-7100 today. Glad you're with us on the program. As always, lots to still get to. And again, I feel like I've reiterated this several times. It's not a Stephon Diggs deal. It's a organizational deal. But I thought George was fantastic in explaining the dynamic, because oftentimes we consider Chris Ballard operating and doing his job, but he's in consultation with Jim Irsay all the time. So this is an organizational decision to approach the offseason this way. And so I guess the organization is going to be deemed successful or deemed non-successful based on the way they're currently operating. So anyway, I do find that very, very interesting right there. Little bit of an idea of where we're headed the rest of the week. Excited to have Rob Blackman on the program. We're going to record an interview with him tomorrow. He's got an extremely busy week. Rob's from the Purdue Radio Network. Also, I've had the chance to work with him on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Radio Network as well. What a run for a broadcaster to go through this as well. But he's been covering Purdue all year long, and Rob is going to join us. We'll play that interview for you on Friday as we prepare for the Final Four in Purdue in the Final Four against NC State on Saturday. So looking forward to that as well. Then tomorrow we have our first on-the-road show of 2024, and we'll be at Perfect Fit Plus in downtown Muncie, on the corner of Jackson and Walnut in downtown Muncie. Very excited to be there and be live and talk sports and all of the fun stuff we do when we're on the road for this particular program. We'll speak with owner Brian Matheny about his personal training business, cryotherapy, etc. Looking forward to that conversation tomorrow. Also, Ryan Reef, the owner of Ryan's Auto Sales, will be with us as well. He's a big Colts fan, so we might be able to hash some of this conversation coming up tomorrow as well. Ryan is the presenting sponsor of Eye the Sky, which, again, you have a chance to win a Saturn Sky. Register tomorrow at Perfect Fit Plus from 5 to 6 o'clock tomorrow. Our show is live from 4 to 5 tomorrow, right here on the Talk of Muncie, the new WMUN. So we got a lot to get to tomorrow, and we're excited to be there. So my show from 4 to 5, and then the Eye the Sky event from 5 to 6 o'clock right in downtown Muncie. We've got the first Thursday walk, etc. It's going to be a lot of fun tomorrow. Looking forward to being out there and having some fun out on the road in downtown Muncie coming up tomorrow. So not a whole heck of a lot of other news going on. We'll have some Ball State baseball, etc. happening this week. And again, the rain's not exactly helping spring sports for a lot of local high schools. A lot of games have been postponed, moved, etc. due to the weather as well. So that is certainly going on as well. We referenced it early on, but the ratings for the Iowa-LSU game and the Elite Eight game on Monday, 12.6 million, is absolutely positively insane. and it's only great news. But, again, it goes back to what we talked about yesterday, maximizing the opportunity. Angel Reese just announced she's going to the WNBA today. Caitlin Clark has already done that as well. And so, obviously, a huge opportunity in the hands of the WNBA coming up here in a couple of weeks. So, thanks to George Bremer for joining us, all of you for stopping by. We're back with you tomorrow. Same time, same place, 4 o'clock, live from Perfect Fit Plus in downtown Muncie. Have a good evening.